This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Hello, dear listener. This month, I hope to begin a series of messages dealing with God's covenant of grace. And although the word covenant is not found in the Bible until you come to Noah, I'd like to begin with Enoch, for we have a very important phrase in God's Word about Enoch. We read from Genesis chapter 5 of Enoch's life. In verse 21 of Genesis 5, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God. We find in the beginning books of Genesis two lines set before us. That is the two seeds of Genesis 3 verse 15. There is the seed of the woman over against the seed of the serpent. There is the seed of the elect believer over against the reprobate unbeliever. Those two seeds develop in history. We're not told much about Seth and his descendants, except when we come to the seventh generation, then we have a snapshot of the representatives of these two sides. Scripture gives a sharp spiritual contrast between the generations of the godly and the ungodly. Genesis 4 lists the ungodly. Genesis 5, the godly believers. Of the ungodly, history speaks loudly of the lust of the flesh and vanity. The man's name was Lamech. He took two wives. There he tramples on God's fundamental ordinance of marriage, one man, one woman for life. Now Lamech says to his two wives, in fact, he sings an ode of the sword, "They took delight in accomplishments of evil." It's a story of human pride and boastfulness, rebellion and vengeful and cruelty, murder, an insolent reference to the avenging of Cain, a song of haughty contempt and arrogance over against God and man. This Lamech killed two men. Three sons are born to him. There is a development in riches, in the arts, in invention and industry, and in wickedness. Oh, those men of that line were famous then and now. Rich, those in the arts, inventions and industry, living in sin, depravity. Over against that line of Cain, there is Enoch, the seventh generation of Adam. We do not have a lot of details, but he was very famous, for you'll notice in the scripture that I read, twice over we read, he walked with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, he is enrolled in the heroes of faith. And there we read that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, Enoch is famous. Not like the family of Lamech, his contemporary, but he is famous for his godly walk. He is famous because of his faith and the fact that God translated him. Oh, what an example he is of the power of God and his grace and the power of God's promise. It is God who promised to put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And it was God who promised to give victory to the seed of the woman. Enoch represented, then, the history of all those generations of Seth who loved the Lord. Yes, he is famous for his walk with God. What an outstanding trait of Enoch. But now, what does that mean? To walk with God is another way of saying a man is a friend of God. In Amos 3, verse 3, we read, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" So what we have here is a reference really to a covenantal relationship, an intimate relationship of friendship. God dwelling with his people. God speaking to his people as a friend with a friend. God walking with Enoch, and therefore Enoch walking with God, a covenant relationship. Life is seen as a walk. Enoch knew that he was a friend of God. He knew God himself. Now, when we read that he walked with God, it's not talking about walking physically like we do with 2 feet on a path. Like Adam and Eve were able to walk through the Garden of Eden with God before their fall into sin. But we're speaking about a spiritual walk with God. God pouring out his blessings of grace, and Enoch the object of those blessings. Yes, Enoch's life was filled with God. God dwelt in his heart. God dwelt in his mind. His thoughts were of God. He knew God. He knew God's name and God's precepts. And Enoch's desires were toward God. He wanted to be near God, to love God, to serve God, to obey God, to trust God, to experience God's favor and goodness. Enoch had this close, intimate relationship with God because God chose and walked with Enoch. That is the concept, really, of the covenant. Some say it's an agreement between two parties, but that's the wrong word to use. What is the covenant? It's a relationship where God says, "I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." We experience, as Enoch did, what it means to walk with God in covenant friendship. The text describes Enoch's relationship with God from the viewpoint of his walk here on earth. So it's not just some mystical contemplation of God in his mind, but Enoch walked with God by obeying God. He said yes to God and to God's will. The direction of Enoch's life was toward God because he loved God with his whole being, and therefore his life was controlled by the principle of God's grace. The direction of his life was in harmony with God's will. It is to be God's party here in the world. And that is revealed by his life, by his conduct, by his speech, by his activity. And so I ask you, as I have to ask myself, does my activity, does my speech, does my walk this past week, this past month, reveal that I am a party with God, that I walk with God, letting his light shine in my heart, God being praised by my words, by my actions, my faith demonstrated and strengthened? Is that of you? Is it of me? There is positive application for us. Walking with God means living in order to obey him. Walking with God also means living an antithetical life. What does that mean? An antithetical life is when the child of God, saying yes to God and his will, must say no. No to sin. No to temptations from the devil. The world at this time was extremely wicked. And the world is becoming more and more wicked. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Seth's line was being enticed by Cain, so that when we begin chapter 6, we read that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took wives of all that they chose. Oh, the world was becoming wicked. Lamech's sons, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. Jabal was the possessor of cattle. He's the father of the rich, the father of those who pile up for themselves the wealth of the world, but is not rich toward God. Jubal is the father of those who handle harps and organs, that is, the artists, music. What a good gift these can be when sung to God's glory. But in rebellion, men and women use it as an instrument of sin and of lust and immorality and rebellion. The lust of this world and rebellion against God. Tubal-Cain is known for industry, being inventive, technology. Again, good things in themselves, but used by sinful men in the service of sin. Those three sons of Lamech represent all those who make it their aim and ambition to become worldly rich, to make this world beautiful and pleasant and make it useful and convenient. They are masters of vast possessions, masters of art, giants in industry. They are the descendants of Cain, who was a murderer. They are sons of proud and boastful and self-asserting Lamech. They are the seed of the serpent. Oh, sin was developing so fast in those days, even as it is today. Enoch refused to join the wicked in their wicked pursuits. And that's what a walk with God entails. Don't we read in Proverbs 13, verse 20, not to be a companion of fools? Proverbs 28, verse 7, not to be a companion of riotous men? Proverbs 28, verse 24, not to be a companion of the destroyer. Over against that, in Psalm 119, verse 63, the child of God says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts." So again, I want to stop a moment with very practical application. Who are your companions, O child of God? Who are your friends? Who are your counselors? Who are your confidants? Walking with God means that we do not walk with those who are wicked, rebellious, but those who fear God. Is that true of you? Your only companions, your true friends that you confide in, depend upon, are those who, like you, love the Lord. Enoch, because he walked with God, would speak out against the world. Notice, Enoch was not an isolationist. He didn't keep his head ducked down and was silent so that he wouldn't be persecuted. No, he testified against the world. He testified against his own household. We read in Jude chapter 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, the wicked, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Did you notice that? Four different times in those two verses of Jude, that term ungodly. He testified against the world and even those of his own household that were now marrying the daughters of men. They were ungodly. That is a testimony in his own walk. He does not walk with them, but really he walks against them. And there's a testimony that is spoken with his mouth. We read that he prophesied, Jude 14. In other words, Enoch, walking with God, was really a John the Baptist of his day, sharply condemning the world of its sin. Ungodly deeds. The ungodly among them. The deeds that they have ungodly committed. Their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We read in Hebrews 11 verses 5 and 6 that he pleased God. Are we famous in the world for walking with God and therefore also hated by the world because of our walk with God? How is it that Enoch walked with God? Well, in Hebrews 11 verses 5 and 6, we read that he walked by faith. We read in verse 6, but without faith is impossible to please him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is an unbreakable line between faith and pleasing God. Those who have faith please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Rather, Romans 14, the wages of sin is death. Enoch believed the promises of God would be realized, although it seemed at that time that they would fail. His generations were becoming exceedingly sinful. Enoch lived in the midst of those ungodly and openly rebellious world. As long as he pleased God, little self-denial or loss can come if you don't say anything. But when you please God, when you live a life that is pleasing to God, it means battle. It means suffering. It means that you're going to be different. That is a stench to the wicked world. Enoch is presented here in the long line of God's people standing for truth in the world. Oh, there were other believers, but perhaps not near as vocal. Enoch stood against the world, and that entails suffering, hatred, reproach, persecution, the loss of all things, and even possibly death. Abel was killed by his brother Cain, because he was righteous. And here is Enoch, living at the same time as wicked Lamech, who was boasting of violence. What was the nature of Lamech's violence? It wasn't the same as Cain's. He would kill others. Just at this, about this time, there finally is only 8 souls in the ark. Many perished before the flood. Enoch is one of those who loved the Lord, walked with the Lord by faith. You and I, as the church today, should expect persecution and hatred when we live as we should. Enoch did not despair. Enoch did not run away like Jonah did from his task. He trusted that God is, and that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And how wonderful. He believed in God, and God cared for him. To Enoch, to occupy such an antithetical position in his times was impossible without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He not only knew God exists, but he knew that God is his own God. He was the God of his salvation, that God was on his side, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking the Lord? to please Him, to live for Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, the confidence of faith. It appears at times that the wicked are so victorious in this world, but no, by faith we know God is on our side. Without that faith, it is impossible to please God. That faith is a product of God's own sovereign grace. That's the only way to be pleasing to God, by faith. What a wonderful gift, then, is the gift of faith. We are bonded, or we are united to God in Christ Jesus. And that faith then becomes an active faith where we seek the Lord. We love the Lord. We come to the Lord Jesus, trusting Him, serving Him, and obey Him. Is it worthwhile to walk with God when there's going to be that kind of persecution? Enoch had the victory of faith. The text says Enoch was not, for God took him. That means that Enoch did not see death. He had victory. Oh, the wicked wanted to silence him. A Lamech would put him to death. But in a moment, during his 365th year of life, God took Enoch to heaven by a wonder. He was translated, not because of faith, not because of his works, but in the way of his faith. He was not found by his enemies that wanted to silence him. What a testimony that was to those wicked enemies. The prophecy of Enoch was true. The Lord is coming in judgment, and he takes his own to himself. The amazing translation of Enoch up into heaven reminds us of our sure reward when Jesus comes. No, we do not have a promise that we will not see physical death or persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ, but we do have the comfort of knowing that God in Christ cares for us. The world may do what they want with our life or with our bodies in God's plan, but we have a reward in heaven. The Lord rewards the godly with everlasting glory. He takes us to be with Him in heaven. What a full reward we will have when Jesus comes again. Then there will be no difficulties. Then there will be no opposition or sin. But we will reign with Christ Jesus forever and ever. That, beloved, is your and my assurance in the midst of the fight, the good fight of faith. God will not only guide us, but afterwards He will receive us to glory. The psalmist says, "Thou wilt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." So let me close by asking this question. Are you walking with God? Is it evident in your speech, in your activity? Do you find it a blessed thing that God is with you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy covenant relationship with us in our Lord Jesus. We are thankful that we are able to walk with Thee by faith, loving Thee and then saying no to sin and all that is rebellious against Thee. Bless our walk, that it may be a light in the midst of darkness, that others may see Christ living in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.